Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. I'm Stephen Strang. I've been covering the Christian community now for more than four decades, and I've seen a lot of incredible things. I've seen a lot of incredible ministries. I've also seen a lot of weird stuff. But, you know, a lot of things are happening in our culture now, and while it's always been bad, it seems to be getting worse. And it's like, Lord, where are you in all this? And especially when you're a follower of Jesus and try to be led by the Holy Spirit, what does all this mean? So my podcast is to try to help you understand and to encourage you to be Spirit-filled, even though the world seems upside down. This is the latest book that I wrote about it, that even with everything that's going on, even as we go into the end times and the tribulation, as the Bible calls it, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to give us power and also to give us power to understand what's going on. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because everyone seems to be talking about the eclipse that's going to happen on Monday, April 8th, just a couple of days from when we're recording this. By the way, if you know someone that's interested in the eclipse or what the Holy Spirit is doing, call them, send them this link, and comment in the comment section below. And while you're there, subscribe to the Strang Report so that you'll be notified. Hit the little bell. And every time we're on live on Tuesdays and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, you'll be notified when we're on. And today, a longtime friend of mine we're going to talk to, he's one of the most talented people, one of the most interesting people I think I've ever met. And I've met a lot of interesting, important people over the course of my journalistic career. His name is Max Greiner. He's from Kerrville, Texas, and he's a sculptor. And he's a sculptor, and this is one of his sculptures, which is actually in my office. I picked it up just a few minutes ago to bring it a show and tell. Is Jesus washing Peter's feet? I think I got that right. And it's quite well known. There's life-size one, and he's made these little miniature ones, and it's just beautiful. And I enjoy displaying it in my office. I see it several times a day as I walk by it, and I just thought that I would come and show it to you, because Max is, first of all, I don't think I know any other sculptors. I just don't. But I got to know him at the National Religious Broadcasters a few years ago, and I was absolutely smitten with his talent and with the different things that he's done. And now he has developed a park in Kerrville, Texas. So I want to bring Max on and thank you for taking time. You've fit me in at the last minute because there was a certain urgency with it's coming up. Yes. So first of all, tell us about this park, this incredible free park that you've done where it's got the empty cross. Tell us about that as starting to talk about the eclipse. And I'll just tell people, you've got to stay tuned for this, because the eclipse is going to come right over the empty cross. And we're going to talk about the significance of it and also the other things that are happening with the eclipse.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you for the opportunity to share. This is kind of exciting in a lot of ways for us. I'm 72 years old, and I've seen a lot of stuff too. And my roots, as you know, were fourth generation Southern Baptist. But then I prayed this prayer in 1989 and with a guy named Bill Banks, because I needed a miracle in my family, and Barb, Southern Baptist train jumped the track. And it was about then that we met you. It was 89 or 90. So we go pretty far back. But we are fully immersed in the things of the Holy Spirit. We love it. And I promised God way back in 89, if he worked any miracles in my life, I would always witness them to others. And we tried to stay faithful to that. And I also asked him, God, don't do anything fun without me. And he's been pretty good about letting me do a lot of his fun stuff. But specifically what the park, and after God got me trained up to an obedient, which was the first time he gifted me to be an artist. So he made me put those genes in me, and I was able to make art, painting, sculpture, jewelry. I'm an architect also, a degree in architecture from Texas A&M. But then he let me be an artist. And then after he got me trained up doing my stuff, then he kind of interrupted my life and said, I want you to do my stuff now. And I did a season of disobedience, which you can hear on our testimony on our website. But I finally got with the program. And when I got with the program, that's when he gave me the divine servant sculpture and said, I want you to do a sculpture of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And I disobeyed and I said, God, we got all these other problems I got to take care of first. My wife had a bad disease. My dad was dying of incurable disease. Texas economy crashed. And so I thought my way was better. Well, anyway, so Mike, long story short, we finally got with this program. And anybody listening out there, if you're sure God's talking to you, go ahead and do what he says and just obey him, even if because he sees the end and he knows what he wants. So I did these big sculptures and took many years. And then in 2001, on December 9th, he called my wife and I, Sherry, out of a church in Austin, Cathedral of Praise. Dr. Mahesh Chabda was a guest speaker, had come in from North Carolina. And he called us out of the audience and said we were going to be involved in restoring the Tabernacle of David, and all the art I'd made in my life was now going to be used in a type of last day's tabernacle. And everybody in the charismatic church clapped, and I told Sherry, I said, man, that guy missed that. You know, but that's the way prophecy sounds, pretty crazy when you hear it. So, but what God's plan was, he said, we're going to do this tabernacle and a lot of Christians would help us. And, but I just dismissed it, put the cassette tape on the shelf, you know, like you do with some of these things. And then, 8 months later, another stranger out of Beaumont, Texas, Marlon Quibido, called up and said, God said, you're supposed to build a 77-foot, 7-inch cross on Interstate 10. And I'm supposed to help you. Well, that began the vision. And so now fast forward from that 2001. And by the way, I understand that when America was attacked by the Muslim terrorist, that was 9/11, 2001. And God says in the Bible, when enemy comes like a flood, he raises up a standard. And I think this may be the standard of that event or one of them. But as a result today, now after lots of battles and the stories in our book and on our website, this garden is now in the top 10% of tourist attractions in the entire world, according to TripAdvisor. That means it's in there with the pyramids and it's in there with the Grand Canyon and it's in there with the, you know, Niagara Falls, Alamo, and we have hundreds of thousands of people coming. And God gave me a vision of a cross-shaped garden that was 300 feet long. And it turned out, I found out later, exactly half the length of the Tabernacle of Moses to the inch, precisely the same. I know that. But we've got it, and it's a cross-shaped garden. It's filled up with 77 scriptures in multiple languages carved into stone or tile. And people enter off the Interstate Highway 10, and then they see this big monumental art and the coming king, the fisherman, the Great Commission, and the divine servant. And at the end is the empty cross. And inside that giant cross, after they walk in this 100-yard-long garden, they can pray to be born again and to be filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit, to be healed, delivered, and miracles. And as a result, here we are all these years later, thousands of people have been saved. Probably the water baptisms are in the thousands. We've probably got healings in the thousands. Over 100 people have canceled suicide. We have dramatic miracles that are happening, and signs and wonders. We've got these angel orb things and streams of light and golden glitter looking stuff that forms on the people when they come up there. And it's been happened to thousands of people. So we got the signs and the wonders. And the fruit, Jesus said, test the fruit. If throw it out. If it's not, burn it up. But if you got fruit, you better keep going with it. And so, you know, to my knowledge, we pretty well have been fulfilled Acts 2:19, where Jesus, you know, talks about, I'll show wonders in the heavens and above and signs of the earth and beneath and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great an awesome day of the Lord.
Let's talk about that. You know, the garden is beautiful and I haven't made it there, but I plan to. We've written about it in Charisma over the years, and we could talk for a long, long time, But really, we're here to talk about the eclipse. In fact, you're the first person who told me the eclipse was coming. It was there was one. It was in October 14th.
Annular. Yes.
And which explain exactly what that is. It's not a total eclipse.
Correct. But it's almost what it is. With the annular eclipse, the moon is slightly smaller than the sun, so you have a ring of fire around the edge, and they, and NASA and others call it the ring of fire eclipse. And for us Christians, it's like the crown of Christ. And prophetically, you can look at it as like first came the annular eclipse, and then the total eclipse, which is total blackness, and will speak to the end. And we found out about it when Debbie Massaros, our executive director, found out NASA had put out a map, and it showed the great American eclipses. And it showed this one in 2023 and then the 2024 one that we're about to do. And they crossed over only one place on the whole planet Earth.
And that's right there in Kerrville.
Right there in Kerrville over the top of the empty cross and this cross-shaped garden.
And as you know, now all these crazy things are happening. There's all these articles. I pulled a bunch of them off the internet. I was actually confusing myself reading all these different theories about this and that. Of course, people back to ancient times have interpreted things in the sky. Columbus was able to manipulate the Indians because he could predict an eclipse that he knew scientifically was coming. I mean, there's lots and lots of examples. As Christians, we have to believe that God speaks to us in signs. And there are some things in the Bible, the star that drew the wise men to Bethlehem was a sign in the sky. And the sky was dark for 3 hours when Jesus was crucified. That had to be an eclipse.
I looked that up, and what the scientists say, that wasn't an eclipse. That they have a lot of other eclipses that go all the way back. But on the day that he died, supposedly, at least what one of the scientists says, there was no eclipse on that day. So that was a supernatural miracle of God on that particular day. And I'm not the scientist, but that's what they've said on that day.
But now tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are becoming eclipse tourists.
Right.
Of course, it's going to be, as I read, a 67-mile wide swath across the United States, and people are going to come to see it. And many people are coming there to Kerrville. Right. But, you know, also the authorities are telling people to fill up their gas tanks and get food. I've heard people talk about how some school systems have let out. People are saying there may be interruption with cell phones and so forth. You know, you don't know if it's because of all the traffic and all the crush of people coming or if something else is going on.
Right.
But everybody's talking about it. And it's just so interesting for me to get this perspective. Because I read an article that told the Muslim perspective about eclipses, the Jewish perspective. It mentioned one quote from Ayn Graham Lotz and nothing else, nothing about Kerrville, although you have gotten some publicity. Talk to us about what you see as the prophetic, supernatural significance of this eclipse and actually these two eclipses that form a cross right over Kerrville.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm not going to give you speculation. I'm just going to give you some facts. NASA said this is the best place in the United States to watch the eclipse. It has the widest duration. It has the right dead center in the eclipse. And because the annular that came before made this X right over Kerrville, NASA is here. They're already here, and they're going to be doing all their photography from Kerrville, Texas. And we've got the all the hotels are sold out. I heard the Motel 6, they sold the last room for $1,000. We've got people that are very concerned about the electricity, the gas, and even the water. If you can imagine, they're saying 150,000 people, tourists, are coming for this eclipse in our town of 24,000. And if 150,000 people flush the toilet twice, we're going to have a water problem. and so the city is worried about that. Now, the biggest estimates I read on the internet was 488,000. And I don't know what's going to happen there, but we're prepared. And why, all the things everybody has said, you know, some of that's probably true and some of it's not true. But what we know for a fact, Steve, is there's an X over Kerrville. And why would God put an X over Kerrville? Because in Kerrville, we've raised a 77-foot, 7-inch hollow empty cross and built the cross-shaped garden, a type of Last Days Tabernacle, to honor Jesus. And it's been going now for since Cross went up in 2010, and hundreds of thousands of people are being touched by God here. And so I, you know, no one else can claim that the annular eclipse and the total eclipse are anywhere but over Kerrville, Texas. And so, you know, what does the cross mean to all of us? It's repentance. It's the crucifixion of Christ. And so all those things about Nineveh and the previous one about Salem, all that's true. But guess where the world's eyes are going to be focused right now is Kerrville, Texas. We even had, NASA figured it out, but we had the Associated Press photographer call us and say, and he's not Christian. And he said, I've searched all the stuff. You got the best place in the whole United States to watch the eclipse. Can I come photograph up there? And because he had looked, and we have the high point over Interstate 10 in the dead center. And so I personally believe that God wants the world to look at the cross, to focus on the cross, which means repentance. And that agrees with what most of the other, you know, prophets are saying, is that this is about repentance. And we're getting a bad situation in our nation. And we know that a believer, this is not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing. And that's what, you know, it's a sign. And, you know, these signs started all the way back with Moses. I mean, remember God saying, okay, maybe they'll believe this sign. Let's do another one. Let's put the frogs in their bed. Maybe they'll believe that one. And, but all these are signs. And I just think we have an opportunity to bring a lot of souls to Christ. And so our nonprofit foundation, which my wife and I helped form, we printed 35,000 solar eclipse tracks. Matter of fact, let me just grab one right here. And so on one side, it looks like about the solar eclipses, and it has these questions. And on the other side, it says, where are you going to be in 1,000 years? And so we have trained tour guide chaplains, and we're going to be presenting thousands of these. And we're asking everybody to pray for at least 2 to 7 souls per track. And they're coming in today. They've already, the people have started arriving, and they will be here, and they will be log jammed. But, you know, from our perspective, we just want to throw a big net and catch a lot of fish, and there are going to be a lot of fish. And on our mountain, nobody really knows, but this 24.5 acres, we could have 10 to 15,000 people on that land. We had Sean Foyt, you know, back in the COVID time, and he came out and 6,000 people were all across the mountain, and they were walking some for a mile to get on our hill. So we don't know how many, but we're going to get, but all of our people are trained. We're going to be handing out those tracts for free and presenting the gospel politely. We're non-denominational. We're not a church. We're not sponsored or part of any denomination. God said to make it an art museum. And so we are a nonprofit art museum that chooses to put out artwork that glorifies God. And that kept us away and protected somewhat from the atheists and the left-wing people, because we're not a church. And so we're ready, and we're hoping and praying, and I hope if everybody would pray with us and agree that we can bring, who knows, 100,000 people to Christ, because we're also putting these tracts out all over this community. And these people are going to be stuck, you know. They're going to be stuck, and they're going to have a tract in their hand, and they're going to read it, and some of them are going to get saved. And so that's really the plan. That's why we're excited.
Yeah. And, you know, as I've read about your park, that you've had people from 100 different countries.
Right.
I know you well enough that you don't spend a lot of money on publicity. So this has got to be word of mouth, or sometimes people just driving down Interstate 10 and seeing it and wondering what it is. But it is so beautiful, and your art is well done. And,
Holy Spirit does our publicity. Again, this is all free. See, everybody else in town here now, they're charging $100 minimum for a parking place. We're giving them away free on that hill. And so God does the publicity, and we tried to stay pure and holy and not make it a money thing. Sherry and I don't take a dollar out of this ministry. And you know, right now, if anybody out there would like to help us have real restrooms, we sure could use them. We got one of the biggest tourist attractions in the world, and we're still using porta potties because we put the money where God said first in making the gospel, presenting it, and lifting him up. But now it's kind of be nice if we could get some real toilets in there. So if anybody's listening, we sure would appreciate some help. So,
in fact, tell people how they can check out your ministry, your website, and so forth, because hopefully people are going to watch this. They're going to share it. They're going to want to find out more. And like me, they want to visit. So help us out.
Okay. And then the garden is actually called the Coming King Sculpture Prayer Garden. So you could put that name in, and hundreds of thousands of statements will come up. The organization is the Coming King Foundation. And then my own art website, I'm a professional artist. I mean, I'm kind of like Paul. I make tents. When I make some money, I go give it away. And so this is my website is maxgreinerart.com. But you can put in just Max Greiner and it'll come out because I've been living long enough.
Spell Greiner.
G-R-E-I-N-E-R, Max Greiner. And it'll come up. But we have a lot of ministry on the websites. Like, you know me a while. I mean, a lot of websites that ministers do and evangelists do, it's about all their stuff and their sermons and all that. But on my website, God said, be an evangelist and actually get people saved and healed and delivered on the website. So I built this expansive website where people get saved, healed, and delivered. They have miracles. I get letters. The glory dust forms on them. It looks like glitter on their hands as they're reading my stuff and watching the videos. And they get it on them wherever they are. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit. People get healed. And then the angel orbs are sometimes float through the room as they're trying to, you know, watch our website and then do what I suggested about get a camera out and photograph around them. These balls of light are moving all around them. So it's an interactive website.
That's been happening a long time. I hadn't thought about it in a while, but you used to send me pictures.
Yeah.
With orbs in it.
Right. And it's still happening to this day. On Easter, I took pictures of our Easter service, and sure enough, there was a big round orb right at the corner of the top of the cross. And in Ezekiel 1:15-23, I think it says that a type of angel is wheels within wheels that moves without turning. And that's what we've got. And we also have the other kind that you see, columns of vapor. We've had them, spotted them and photographed them zipping through the inside and out across. So all this supernatural stuff is happening. I mean, I think it's over 100 people have canceled suicide. Now, what park can you go to, or art museum, where you decide to cancel killing yourself? I mean, but that's what's happening here. We had one man that wrote us a long letter, 4 pages, and he said he was a homosexual, and had I think 400 partners, and he got saved and set free and delivered in this cross. And, you know, the unique thing, while people are coming, I mean, before this eclipse, they've been coming, but the God's showing up, and it's a self-service garden where you don't have to have somebody trying to preach to you. You read those scriptures, you go inside the prayer and inside the cross, and there's the four plaques, and it can be happening. Nobody else around but you and God. And so that's one of the unique things about this type of evangelism. I call it eye gate evangelism. They see the art from the highway, Interstate 10. They pull in, they read the first scriptures and the artwork, and they get all the way to the end, and then the transformation happens right inside that empty cross.
Well, it's an amazing story, and congratulations to you and Sherry and all those that work with you. I think you're doing a tremendous job. And as we wrap this up, I'm going to want you to speak to my viewers and listeners, because probably a lot of people that don't believe in Jesus are watching because they were just searching for something about the eclipse and came across this. Right. And I want you to talk to them about accepting Jesus, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, and then pray for them as we wrap up this podcast. And also, I meant to ask you this and I forgot, is any of this going to be live streamed or anything? Is there something on the internet that we go to? What time of day on the 8th is this going to happen?
It's going to happen about 1:30. The best streaming you can get will be from NASA, because they will have it. We were going to have Paul Wilbur and Troy Brewer up here, and we started getting in these numbers, and we were, man, we could plan a big party and can't even get to our own party. I mean, I'm going to have to sleep in our gallery gift shop the night before so I can just be sure I'm there. They're saying it'll be so clogged up that people won't be able to get anywhere. For live streaming, you can sure check the NASA thing, and we'll be doing stuff before and after, and maybe something with you, but we just got to be there. We're there to catch fish, Steve. That's all we're going to be doing is catching fish for Jesus and bringing them. But folks who are listening to this may sound crazy. I may sound crazy. That's okay. I'm crazy for Jesus. And that's when I found out he was real. I found him at age 7 in a Baptist church. And then I prayed with a guy, Presbyterian named Bill Banks in 89, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And oh my gosh, I found out all the miracles that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, old St. Paul talked about. That's real, and it's still happening, and it never stopped. And if somebody tells you it stopped, they don't know because they haven't experienced it. They don't believe their own word, but it's real. And if you will let God come into your life, everything will change. And, you know, yes, you'll still be the same person, but suddenly you'll be living for Jesus rather than yourself. And you'll get a concern for other people that are going to hell, because hell is just as real in the devil as God is. And so my question to you, would you rather spend eternity in heaven, which has air conditioning, or hell? And it's like a barbecue and you're it. And so that's the simplest form. A relationship with Christ, he has promised to pay for the sins of the world if you accept him and invite him into your heart. And it's so simple. That's all it is. It's not a bunch of religion. The Creator just wanted a relationship with his children. And so if you just say, God, I don't want to go to the barbecue. I want to be in air conditioning up in heaven. Would you please come into my heart, into my life? I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need a Savior. And Jesus, you are the one, the Son of God, that died on that cross in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago for me. And I just ask you to come into my life, make me a new creation. And when I die, that you take me immediately to heaven. And I just thank you, God. And I also ask you to give these gifts to me that you list in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the miracle gifts, the signs and wonders, all that stuff. Would you just bring those gifts, release those gifts out of me, baptize me with fire and power right now in the name of Jesus, and just use me in your kingdom to do amazing works in your name and to bless everybody I'm around for the rest of my life. And also, Lord, I ask you to help me right now with my own problems that I got and start working those miracles fast, because the world is going to hell in a handbasket, as they say, and I want to be a part of the solution, not to be part of the problem. And I thank you, God, for saving me and baptizing me in the Holy Spirit and answering the other prayer requests that I can now bring to you as your son or daughter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Max, thank you so much for that prayer. And thank you for your life and ministry and talent. And to my viewers, if you're interested in finding out more about that Holy Spirit that Max just talked about, my book is a good place to start. It's kind of a Spirit-Led Living 101. To tell you about the power of the Holy Spirit and how you can experience it in your own life. It's available at mycharismashop.com or stevestrangbooks.com, or of course you can get these things online at places like amazon.com. So thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning into the Strang Report. Leave your comments. If you've ever been to the empty cross, if you have one of these sculptures, tell us, leave us a comment. We'll respond when we see it. And thank you again for tuning in. Tune in again next Tuesday for another episode of the Strang Report podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.